goes for it. Sean Mackey, the strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Hello, hello, it's good to be back, good to be back. Yes it is, that is the mortal lines of Oasis, what's actually the immortal lines of Gary Glitter, but we won't mention that. And of course it is the summer of Oasis, it has been the summer of Falkirk, and hopefully season 25-26 is going to continue the trend. We are back, however, ready for our Premiership action, and Falkirk Daft is going to take it every step of the way. New format, we'll get into that a bit later on, but as ever, the ever-present Ross Wayne is with me, the Ginger God of Pod. How are you, Ross?
Good evening, sir. Good evening. And as you said, in the words of Liam Gallagher, we are full, fit and mad for it.
We certainly are, certainly are. Talking of Oasis, I've lost my bucket hat, but we'll get on to that after we talk about Falkirk Daft Live 5, which happened at Behind the Wall on Friday evening just past. Amazing lineup we had. We had Jamie Swinney, our CEO. You're going to hear from Jamie Swinney. If you missed the event, we recorded a bit with Jamie last week, ahead of the Behind the Wall night, actually. So you're going to hear the in-depth conversation we had with Jamie a bit later on in the podcast, get all your questions hopefully answered. But also we had Crawford Bapty and the one and only Yogi Hughes on at Falkirk Daft Live on Friday night. A lot of people saying it was the best one yet, Ross.
It was fantastic. So as you said, so half one we had Jamie, and with it being an unrecorded live event, he was able to speak a bit more freely and give his open and honest views on a range of topics. Slightly different to, obviously, the podcast that we recorded. However, it was fantastic to have him on. Like, he just lives and breathes Falkirk Football Club, like we all do, and he's loving life at the moment. And then half two, we had the legends that are Crawford Bapty and John Yogi Hughes come out. It was great to hear the crowd chanting their individual chants for the pair of them, and as you said, the amount of feedback we got after it, saying that this was our best one so far, it kind of felt like that. The stories from both of them about Brockville, about their teammates, about managers, was superb. John Yogi could have spoke for another hour about Trinidad and Russell and Anthony Stokes. It was just perfect. It was a brilliant night.
No, it was great. Really, really good. Crawford as ever, absolute gentleman. Yogi's stories were incredible. Just like you say, we could have just had Yogi on his own. It would have been brilliant. We should maybe look at that in the future, because he was absolutely sensational. So maybe a couple of years down the line, we'll get Yogi back, if we're still here, of course. But yeah, we're here for 25-26, of course. And I'm looking forward to it. We've just actually went through a League Cup. We'll talk about that in a minute. Just drawn against Celtic there, Ross.
Yeah, it doesn't get much tougher. However, if we want to win the cup, you need to play them some point. So why not in the round of 16? Now, listen, in all seriousness, it's a tough draw. But we did go there, and it's worth a lot of cash to the club. But for 70 minutes last September, we did run Celtic very, very close. So fingers crossed we can go and do similar again. But with maybe a better outcome this time. But as you said, the cash that this game likely will bring in, that could again be the difference between another couple of players, quality players coming in, either in this window or in January.
More than likely to be on the television as well. Notice that Celtic have got the European games, qualifying games, on either on Tuesday or the Wednesday. I'm not too sure how that's going to work out. So it might be that we're kind of Saturday kickoff, maybe?
Looking at the fixtures, so Rangers play in Europe on Thursday the 14th, which would suggest they'll play on the Sunday, and they are at home. So it's not as if Rangers and Celtic can play on the same day. And Celtic are playing at either the Tuesday or the Wednesday of the following week. So I think our game will be the Saturday night, unless sorry, the Saturday, unless Premier Sports come out with some random Friday night or something like that.
Yeah, we'll wait and see what happens there. But yeah, it's money for the club. And like you say, I mean, you would have liked to meet them further down the pecking order. But hey, we'll take whoever's put in front of us and we'll give it a good go. Hopefully catch them cold like we did last year when we gave them a decent game as well. Let's talk about some club news, because it has been an awful long time since we spoke to you. God, it seems so long since we were, I mean, we had that kind of middle episode with John Spencer in the middle, but it seems so long since the champions again. Ole,
that was
ole.
6 weeks. That was 6 weeks ago. We spoke to John Spencer, and just to say thank you for everyone's feedback on that episode, because it was phenomenal. Like I've watched it back a couple of times as well, and he so gets Falkirk, doesn't he? He's totally knee deep in it. And I heard a rumor that Brad got a little bit of feedback from the rest of the squad that his dad was actually on the podcast, and I believe he was fined £50 for the privilege of his dad coming on.
Listen, we should stay, get all the dads we know. Obviously, Liam Henderson's dad, Willie, who listens to the podcast. We know Jen, sorry, Miles, Nikki's mum, who's going to. You should get on. Maybe we should just get all the parents on. That'd be quite nice. Do a bit of analysis with the parents.
Finding each other as the season goes on.
No, exactly. So, no, thanks for all the feedback on that episode. But let's talk of, like, what have we missed out? We've not talked, first of all, about the new strips. Which seemed like they came out ages ago, but yeah, we've not even discussed them yet, Ross. What are we thinking about the home and away strip this season?
I like the home strip. I know there's the badge in the middle has caused a little bit
Yeah.
of chat. However, personally, I do like a middle badge. I think it does look great.
Very reminiscent of obviously the last time we were in the Premier League.
We did, yeah, the 2009 10 season. See, to be fair, obviously it wasn't a great season that year. However, before a ball was kicked, I did like it. I thought it was a nice, clean-looking kit. I think this one looks better just because there's a bit more red in the shirt, and also, as we know, I love a pair of red socks as well. So that which wasn't there in 2009. So yeah, loving the home kit. What about you? What are you thinking?
I'm all right with the home kit. It's okay. I mean, I've like last season, I wasn't a big fan of the home kit because I thought it looked too much like a Raith Rovers top. I end up buying the back to back champions one because the gold and just the, it's just a one off thing. So I'd end up buying that version of the home kit, which looks great. I don't know if I'll ever wear it. I think I'm probably be one that I might look at trying getting signed and framed. Home this year's home kit, it's okay, it's all right, but I do think the away kit is an absolute barnstormer. It's like it probably goes into straight away as one of my top five favorite Falkirk kits. It's incredible, I just love it. There was a bit of everyone was a bit worried when they kind of released the kind of teaser photo going, oh my god, they're doing the blue and blue checkered.
Yeah.
Right across again, what a terrible strip! And it's picked up kind of cult value, that strip. You see the pictures of Chris Waddle in it, and it's picked up this kind of cult value for it. But I was like, no, hold your horses here. It might be something, and it just looks incredible across the shoulders and the fade on it, and
It's
with the
perfect,
white,
isn't it?
it looks amazing. I think it's an absolute all-timer. I really do.
I totally agree with you. I think O'Neill's have done it perfectly. The fade into the like it's almost well, it is a proper fade because it's like that. It's as if you're squinting as it goes towards the sleeve cuff. So no, they've done a really good job. It's really clean again. It goes well. Not that we've seen it a lot with the navy shorts and the navy socks because of kit clashes and stuff like that in the cup games. But it is a really really nice looking kit. I believe they have ordered. White shorts and actual white socks to go with it. I think the players have this maybe a preference to wearing all white if they can as well with it. So it's just a belter. I agree with you. I think it's definitely up there. It is a Hummel-esque shirt. Obviously, it's not Red Shoulders, it's the sky blue and the navy, but it looks like it's sold really well when you see the amount of people wearing it at the games.
I know, no. You've made this point to me actually when we're watching the game against Queen's Park that the actual the shorts that are with it just now are slightly off-white, so the white and the white don't go together. That really annoyed me as soon as I saw it.
So that's apparently it's because so obviously the white shorts and red socks that they've been wearing with it are obviously the home kit, but the white away kit is a different shade of white, so it doesn't quite go. But they are rectifying it. Chris McGill, big time, says that they've got white, proper white shorts and white socks ordered. But listen, the navy shorts and navy socks that meant to go with it look cracking as well. So I think they've done well. The pressure's on. We've obviously will go on to ask Jamie about the heritage kit in the Q&A that we did with him. But that's going to still to come out too. But I'm sure based on these two already, we're on to a winner.
Yeah, I just hope the shorts, like, if the shorts kind of replicate what we're wearing, what we've worn so far from that, if they had new shorts with the kind of checkered splash down the side, it would
That'd
look
be nice.
absolute buy one. But yeah, absolute massive fan of that. We spoke to John Spencer, as we mentioned. We haven't spoke about Brad extending his deal. At the time we recorded the episode with John, there was a lot of chat about him maybe moving on and potentially Hearts throwing their name into the, but Brad, brilliant to see extend his deal, and he's going to be a Falkirk Bairn through to, is it 2029?
28, I think.
28.
Wrong, but yeah, 28. Best signing of the summer so far, if
Yeah.
not potentially the signing of the summer. So chuffed. We were a little bit worried because, listen, he was a Championship Player of the Year last year, played every single minute in the league for Falkirk, and that's going to get you noticed, whether it's Hearts with their formulas or someone else who just has a look at him and sees that he could be a big part. So, and we notice it when he's not playing. Although that said, I'll caveat that with I thought Henry Cartwright came on and done really well yesterday in place of Brad when he got some 20 minutes or so.
Let's talk about the new signings then. So we've got, I guess you can, let's include Conor Allan within that. I know we signed him in January and sent him back out to Kelly. So let's start off with Conor Allan. What have we made of him so far?
So far, I like the look of him. He's obviously very versatile. He can play in the middle. He can play in centre half. I think he even had a moment at fullback in one of the friendlies.
Yeah.
He's a big lad. He's got a bit of stature about him as well, and you can tell he's probably been developed pretty well at Murray Park for Rangers over the his youth career. So I don't think he will be a starter, but I do think he will have a part to play this year because you know what it's like. There's always injuries, there's always suspensions, and he will have a part to play this year coming.
Certainly, I think with Finn's injury, he might have a part to play at right back. And it is good, like say, that versatility that Connor obviously has. He came on in the cup yesterday. He played at centre half. He can play, right back is probably where we're going to need to cover there if with Finn being injured. And he can play midfield as well if needs be. So that versatility is obviously really important when our squad's probably a bit thinner than a lot of Premier League sides as well. So yeah, it looks like he. I agree. I think really good squad player. I don't think and he'll be a name I'm starting 11 necessarily, but really good to have about the squad. Right, let's talk about next. Our first signing in the door was Scott Bain, from Celtic. Rumours has it on a lot of money. What are we thinking of what we've seen from Scott Bain so far?
I thought yesterday, I thought was his best game for us so far. They've obviously been chopping and changing the goalkeeping position throughout the cup games, which I believe John had spoken to both players about. No idea where they will pick for the league game, so that's going to be interesting to see who starts. I do wonder if it might be Scott based on the fact that yesterday did look to be his starting strongest potential starting 11 minus any injuries. But yeah, I thought yesterday was Scott's best game so far. His distribution was bang on and he had two or three pretty decent saves actually.
Yeah, I think there was a couple of little errors that he made in kind of pre-season friendly. I think it was the Edinburgh City game kind of stood out, didn't he? He had a couple of howlers in that. But Yeah, definitely agree. It will be interesting. We'll speak about that actually. This is Monday's episode. We'll talk about the fact that we're going to go twice a week now with Falkirk Daft. We'll get our starting 11 for that Dundee United game when we talk about Dundee United in our preview show on Thursday. But yeah, I think Scott Bain, it's going to be a fight on for those gloves, a real fight on, because we know that we've now got two quality goalkeepers in the door. I mean, the guy's had three caps for Scotland, you know what I mean? So I think in terms of distribution, he looks a lot better than Nicky. Though Nicky came on leaps and bounds, I think last season we saw some great distribution from Nicky last season. It's going to be interesting because you see some of the saves that, the save that Nicky pulled off, albeit it led to a goal against Queen's Park, but it was an absolutely tremendous save he pulled off. Scott Bain likewise pulled off a couple of really, really good saves against Spartans as well. So it's going to be a real fight for those clubs, but we do know it's great to see because we've got two good quality goalkeepers in the door now.
Yeah, we do, and it's probably going to be needed in this division as well. I agree with you. I thought Nicky came on leaps and bounds with his distribution last year, set up a goal from maybe even two from memory from his kickouts. And I do like the height of Nicky as well, because like I think back to that St Johnston. It was I know it was a friendly, but that
That
St Johnston,
was class, yeah.
yeah, it was fantastic, and there was at least two late chances that St Johnston had that he like. How did he catch it? How did he tip it over? And you think Scott Bain might have not have saved this. So it is a tough thing, but listen, I'm glad it's John McGlynn's problem and not really ours.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Next in the door was big Brian Graham, a thorn in Falkirk's side for many a year, and now is wearing the navy blue. What we think about big Brian?
Yeah, I was really excited when we signed him. I still am actually. I think he will be a big player for us this year. He's, as you said, he's scored a lot of goals in his career, a lot against Falkirk as well. He has missed some chances in
Couple of
pre-season.
glaring headers he's missed at
You would have
points on a couple
expected
of
him to
chances.
score, but if he's keeping his goals for league games, I'm all right with that as well. But I do think he'll be a big player. Do I think he'll start over Ross McKeever? Yes, I think he will. I think he will.
I do think the goals he has scored in pre-season have been really instinctual. Strikers goals. Was it against, who was it against? Oh God, they all just melded into one where he just he, the ball got fed through to him and he didn't even look up.
Yeah, no, that was a fantastic strike. It really was. It wasn't that was one of the friendlies, wasn't it? So yeah, it was a beautiful
Was that against Raith Rovers? I can't remember.
it was Raith or it was Edinburgh City. I can't remember which one of the two. But you're right, he didn't even look. The goals don't move, as a lot of strikers say. So no, it was a really nice goal. But I think I don't want to put up a number on it, but I wouldn't be shocked if he got his double digits this year.
I certainly hope so, because Stephen Mill said to me he'll give me £200 if Brian Graham scores double digits this season. So
I think that's a good bet. I
I
think
didn't
that's
even I didn't even offer him £200 back. He just said I'll give you £200 if he scores. I'll take that. Thanks very much.
indeed, indeed.
So big Brian Graham in the door, and hopefully we'll get goals 30. I mean, Brian and Scotty must bring the average age of that side right up now. And Scott Bain 32 now, I think.
Yeah, well, he's older than that,
Is
34,
he older?
35, maybe.
Is he? Yeah. So they're certainly the experienced heads in the side. Less experienced, who we've brought in from Hearts on loan, however, is Lewis Nielsen. Probably known from his time at Hearts. Thistle, remember him playing at Thistle as well. I think he looks like a right good centre half. On the diagonals, he's amazing. Not comfortable with the ball at his feet, striding forward with the ball as well. Very Luke Graham-esque, and I think he will be Hendo's partner at centre half going
I
in.
think so too. I think that is, and well, I'll caveat that. One, when Cole is fit, I think that's an interesting battle between the two. But I do think it will be between Cole and Lewis, who will partner Hendo this year, based on what we've seen so
It
far.
certainly looks like he's trying to build a partnership there between the two of them, because Tom's not really had much of a look in the last couple of weeks, and it's been Nielsen and Henderson that are playing the back, so it's looking like he's trying to build that partnership. But I do like the looks of him, and good to know he's actually out of contract at the end of the season, so if he does perform for us. Every opportunity you can make him a Bairn permanently. But yeah, I think I've been really impressed of all the signs. I think he's the one that's really impressed me the most, actually. I think he's been really, really good. So looking forward to seeing what he does in the Premier League. And finally, the first of what I expect is going to be a few more in from English Premiership sides. Leicester are down the Championship now, but Henry Cartwright, certainly from what we've seen, for the reaction from Leicester fans online has been very, very positive about him, and I think he has done well in when he's come on the, you know, the first few games we've seen him in.
No, I would agree. I think the snippets that we've seen, he's passing, looks on point. He's got a bit of dig about him as well.
He's a big boy.
He's a big lad. I think he's a bit of a menace in the midfield. Is he quite similar to Brad Spencer to play with him? I think he is. I don't see the two of them. I could be wrong. Again, this is a good problem for John to have. They look quite similar. So I think it will be Spencer that starts in that role. However, you never know. You never know. But I do like the look of him. And he's got something about him. And again, I think he could be a big player for us.
And I do think it's ignited a fire under Dylan Tate, who's been unbelievable. 100%. Absolutely unbelievable. You know, we saw his hat trick in the breaking game, and I think actually you saw him against Spartans yesterday as well. You know, got his goal, was pulling strings in midfield. So I do think it's lit a fire a bit under Dylan as well. So great, because you know that's what you want. So yeah, looking forward to seeing Henry Cartwright. I think he's going to have something to offer, and it's very interesting. You'll hear in the chat with Jamie asking about the signings from Premier Leagues. You know, at Falkirk Daft Live, we tried to get him drunk and find out. By the way, he was one of the last men standing in the bar on Friday night as well, Jamie. So we don't know if anyone managed to get out of him, but a couple of big, big Premiership clubs, apparently, John is targeting players from. So it'll be interesting to see when they come in, what we're going to get there as well. Hopefully, and I think the key components missing now are a right winger or backup for right winger. Probably...
Would it be right wing or would it be left wing?
Probably left wing, because you've got Alfie, I guess, on the right. It's probably a left wing. And do we need a left back? I was going to say we need a left back, but then McCann has been outstanding. It was brilliant the last couple of games. You know, Sean's obviously picked up a knock, and it looks like Sean or it'll be Leon that actually start against Dundee United. But I think Leon's really, again, had the fire lit under him as well. He's been outstanding at left back. So do you need another striker with Barney out injured as well? Where would you go to look to improve next?
I can understand the calls for a potential another striker. I get it. We can only play one in that position. Now, obviously, I know Gary Oliver's temporarily injured, so I don't know how long he's out for. But yeah, do we need another player there? I think if we could bring in another versatile defender, and what I mean by that is someone who can maybe play, and I know this is maybe a bit of a wish list, someone who could potentially play either fullback position for us, because
that's greedy,
I know that, but I think I am a little worried with Finn out long term. We don't really have an alternative to Keelan Adams, whereas at least at left back we've got Sean, who I don't think is out for too long, but we'll have Sean and Leon there as well. So right back would be, plus if we're being honest, I think Finn's best position is in midfield anyway. So I think we need another fullback at right back.
Yeah, but interested to see what positions are. But we do believe that it's two more players to come in, and they're going to be from big, big Premiership clubs. Yep. You'll hear that chat with Jamie in just a bit. News from a Falkirk Daft perspective is that we are going to be hosting the new 1876 Lounge. And of course, we're taking up the sponsorship of the armband again. As you've probably seen in the course season, the kids are still getting the armbands from the players. It's been great to see some of the faces over the course season as well.
Yeah, that's the best thing we've done. So other than starting the podcast, I think anything that's come from the podcast is the armband handover. And I'm delighted. Well, we're both delighted that we're able to do this for a third season, but also a season in the Premiership, which is amazing as well. And as part of that deal, as you said, John, we are going to be hosting the new lounge. As a casual lounge, it's not a suited and booted
Yeah,
affair.
we're not going to be wearing suits, by the way. I can
Oh, no. And
go.
hopefully no one else is in the lounge either. Feel free, because you wear what you want. But as a casual option, you don't need to be suited and booted. We have a few ideas as to how we're going to do it. We're going to chat. It's going to be really interactive. So we'll be chatting to those in the lounge pre-game, talking about the team lineups. We'll be interviewing, there'll be 10 former players in the lounge every single game, and there'll be different players. So it'll be really interesting to see who we're going to chat to. And you never know, we might even have a wee game of Falkirk Daft versus pre-game as well. And the club will be putting up some prizes.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be good chat. So if you are thinking about doing hospitality and looking for that kind of cheaper option this year, me and Ross, you'll hear our shite banter in the 1876 lounge throughout the season. So book yourself in if you want more of this shite banter. What a sell for it, eh?
I
What a sell for it. Come and listen to us talk shite on a microphone.
know.
So do that. We'll be in the 1876 lounge this season. So looking forward to meeting you all there. There's a podcast brought out by the board this week. I've not had the chance to listen to it. Ross, you have. What happened on it,
It
though?
was. Yeah, it was about an hour and 20 minutes in length, but some really, really interesting. Some of the topics were most of the topics were covered by Jamie on our Q&A, so it's not going to be brand new information to you, or anyone else who's li not listened to it either yet. However, there was two big things in this. It was obviously the club's podcast was recorded after our one, so had it been before, we may have been able to ask on our Q&A with Jamie a bit more about the detail. So the big news is, though, that they are very much on the working path for a new stand. Now, it won't be just a stand with some seats. They are looking to put something in place with a developer, with a partner, with an investor that's going to be huge for the community, huge for the council area as well. It sounds like the council are on board with it in terms of the potential, because I think the council would maybe have to give up a little bit of land to help with it as well. But it sounds very positive, as people will hear on our Q&A with Jamie. Jamie talks about it to a degree too, and he talks about the size of number of seats and stuff. But it's not just seats they're looking for; it's bringing match day, sorry, non-match day income into the football club, which is going to be massively key. And also having up different options for things like hospitality. Can we bring the fans on outside? Indoors to the stadium as well. And then what the other thing they finished on, John, was around investments. So they are open to that third leg of the stool that keeps getting talked about. They are talking to various people. But it's all there's nothing set in stone just yet, but it could tie in with the East Stand development.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope so as well. So that's all been going on. We mentioned the League Cup draw. We're off at to Celtic, but the League Cup, we topped the group, and it was, if all being honest, we kind of cantered it really. Apart from that game against Cove, which was a tough game anyway, going away to Cove, we won it on penalties. Some, like we said, some great saves from Scott Bain in that shootout. But yeah, what have you made of the League Cup campaign?
Yeah, pretty comfortable, as you said. Certainly the Brechin game couldn't have been any more comfortable.
Ah, brilliant.
Cove, we
Absolutely.
did everything bar really score during the game, and the wins over Queen's Park and Spartans were pretty routine, if we're being not dismissive of them, but it was pretty comfortable. The Cove game is probably, well, it is the reason why we've not been seeded in the draw that's took place earlier today. I think had we picked up the 3 points there, our goal difference, and obviously being on 12 points would have been the difference maker there. But it is what it is. The draw has been made, and as you said, we've got Celtic away. We will give them a game, hopefully, like we did last year, and it will bring in a lot of cash into the football club at a time when, yes, we have got more income into the club. But if this is the difference between getting another one or two players in, whether it's now or in January, because maybe John's identified all he needs for now. He doesn't want 10 players that are sitting in the stand can't even get in the squad. So maybe it's a January thing, but it gives them that option.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think over the part, I think Dylan Tate has been an absolute standout over the campaign.
He's been my favourite player. The two players that I think in my that are my favourite, so Dylan Tate, same as you, and also I think Alfie, as much as he's only got one goal so far, he's been a terror for me.
I honestly, a lot of people are split on Alfie, and I've heard a lot, but I can't believe you signed him up for another year. He will terrorise
He will.
Premier League left backs.
He
See when
will.
he comes on, you end up playing on the left against them Spartans on Saturday, but see when there's 20 minutes to go and you see Alfie coming on and just what he does.
I know.
Like he will terrorize, and I'm delighted. I'm a big fan of Alfie. I just think he's going to be an absolute cult hero going forward for Falkirk supporters because he just offers something that no one else in that team can offer.
Sure.
And you just, I really do. I'm really excited about watching Alfie in the Premier League and seeing what he does.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's can't wait. But yeah, I think over the piece, I thought it was a really professional League Cup campaign. I mean,
Definitely.
Scott Arfield just strolled it. Like, honestly, he scored three goals, right? But like, Scotty wasn't involved in much of the game at all. But he's so bloody good that when he has a chance or a half chance, it's in the back of the net, or whenever you get him on the ball, he does something with it, and it feels like he just is never in the game. But when he is in the game, he just does something outstanding,
He's going to be so important this year,
Yeah,
John. He's going to
absolutely.
pop
I'm
up
sure
at
he'll
every
get
game.
really welcomed at Celtic Park as well when we go
Oh
there
yeah,
as
they'll
well.
have the red carpet out for him, and yeah, I'm sure he'll get a clap as he comes on.
I know. I imagine if he scores and does the salute in front of the Celtic supporters. Oh,
Inject it, John. Inject it.
but
Straight
yeah.
into
Listen, look at it was a professional League Cup campaign. Great to get through, and obviously the money against Celtic. And we'll give it a good shot. We'll give it a good shot.
We will.
Got to say before we move on, thanks once again to our sponsors. Jumping back on board, Behind the Wall are back with us again. Get yourself up there. It's the best pub. And I'm going to say this right now, right? A lot of pubs I've noticed over the course season have jumped on the Falkirk bandwagon, right? Behind the Wall have been there through the bad point at League One, supporting the club, through the Championship, and now I suddenly see a lot of pubs jumping on this bandwagon run supporters club buses. One of the few places in town that puts money into the club is Behind the Wall, right? So I'm going to say that as a Falkirk supporter because a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon now, and fair play, it's a business, and I get that from a business perspective, but they haven't been there through the bad times and they've just jumped on the bandwagon now. Behind the Wall have been there from day dot and will continue to be there and put money back into the club as well. So that's all I'm going to say on that. Thank you for Behind the Wall, and thank you obviously to Big Brian and the team who were brilliant with us again on Friday night here. Over 200 Falkirk Daft Venom sold. That's wild. And of course, Falkirk Daft Venom is exclusive to Behind the Wall, so get yourself one there before the game. Got to also say thanks very much for the football fans of training. The T8s are back on with us, and they're delighted to be with us as well. They've still got their link up with us, still got the linked up with the Falkirk Community Foundation, and that's the third season they've been on with us as well. So thank you so much for that. If you don't know what the Falkirk Football Fans in Training, they're a group that over the last 9 or 10 years have promoted not only football but a social network for like-minded people. They were all down there on Friday night at Falkirk Daft Live, actually Darren, and we played them actually, in a game. We had a charity game against them during the course season as well. We Falkirk Daft won 2-1, by the way, and it was
Okay.
oh, so I don't want to rub that in, but we did have Liam Craig playing in midfield for us, which was a big help as well. And shout out to man of the match, our former Falkirk TV commentator Sean Elderbrandt as well, who was absolutely outstanding on day. Set up one and scored one. But yeah, I won't rub that into the boys because they might stop sponsoring us. But yeah, if you want to get down with them to the Falkirk Football Fans and Train, there's a slight change this season. They've got the full pitch now on a Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. So it's set up as an elite academy, and Legends hopefully be promoting an over 50 section as well. News to come on that. So yeah, watch this space. All the details are on the Facebook page, but if you want to get involved with the Falkirk Football Fans Training, it's now shift Wednesday 8:30 to 9:30, and they're looking at introducing an inaugural Kelpies Cup tournament at the end of the session. Plans are in place for that, but the criteria will be strictly over 40 and no ex-professionals or registered amateurs. And get this, Ross has said, if we can pull it off, we're happy for you to enter a Falkirk Daft team.
Interesting. Excellent.
Interesting. Interesting. We'll wait and see how that bubbles on. But yeah, Falkirk Football Fans in Training back for season 25-26, along with Behind the Wall as well. Right, okay, we've teased it enough now. Let's get into the chat with our CEO, Jamie Swinney.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're Navy Blue, are you?
So it's a bit of a special on our first episode back this season. I'm delighted to say that our CEO, our boss, our mentor, Jamie Swinney, has joined us on Falkirk Daft. Hello, Jamie. Welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks, Ross, for having me back on. It's always good to do one of these at the start of the season. So hopefully we can give the fans lots of information today and have a good chat.
Absolutely. You're always I have to say, Jamie, I mean, you don't even have to come on this podcast because you answer everybody's questions on Twitter anyway, because honestly, there must be points that you look at your phone and go, Jesus Christ, because I look at the responses to some of the questions you're answering as well, and I'm thinking, honestly, you're a better man than me. That's all I say. My phone would be launched at the wall with some of the questions that you have to answer.
You know what, though? I think it just shows people just care so much about the club. So I always try my best to give an answer because the club matters so much to people. So let's try and answer if you can. Obviously, there's some teams it's just not possible to give the answer because it's confidential. But if it's not confidential or controversial in any way, try and answer the question.
But your wife must be sitting there when you're sitting on the couch on a Saturday night and you're just sitting trying to watch the TV, bit of Strictly on or whatever you watch on Saturday night, Jamie, and you've got these questions coming in. You're thinking, she must be sitting there going, for God's sake, Jamie, put the phone down.
After over 10 years with me, I think she realises that's just who I am.
fair enough. Let's go back in time then, Jamie. We're sitting here on Monday the 21st of July. But let's go back to Friday the 2nd of May, which it seems like an eternity ago now, but it's like only about a month and a half ago. Take us through your night from the start to the finish. I want to hear it all. I want to hear the emotional roller coaster because we were on one. I don't know what it was like for you sitting up in the director's box.
I think it's probably worth starting 5 or 6 weeks before that when we decided to try and make it as nerve-wracking as possible. And it was worth actually saying, see if you were actually saying it in any season, you'll win the league in the last game of the season. I think you would all say that's a brilliant way to do it.
Yeah.
The problem that we had is that I think after the first quarter, we could see we were the best team in the league. And I wasn't quite on the main train, but privately, I was confident that we could go and win the league. And we got ourselves in such a good position, we all probably thought, we'll get a few weeks here at the end of the season when the league's won and we can relax a little. But no, that's not what happened. As we all know, the script was not that. And I'm sure I speak for thousands of other people that the last 4 or 5 weeks were excruciating. Absolutely. It was like a slow form of torture over those weeks. The bit that I found really difficult was trying to stay positive. I found that really tough because the first 24 to 40 hours after the Livy away game or the Ayr away game or the Partick away game or the Rafe at home game, I really struggled. And what I felt was important, though, is that when I came back into the club, is that I had to make sure, put a positive face on. Yeah. Because I still believed we'd win the league. I still believed it, even despite those setbacks. But it was really tough. And I think we all know that because we all started to question, surely we're not going to throw it away. So that 4 or 5 weeks run was as tough as I can't even put the words how tough that was. The night itself was, and it will be one of my favourite nights of my life, whatever happens going forward. It was just so incredible. I don't think I've ever seen the stadium like that in my life. I really think it was just from the minute, about an hour before kickoff, you actually feel the atmosphere. You actually feel it. I remember 20 minutes before the game, 15 minutes before the game, walking out. And it was actually, you could actually almost taste it and touch it. It was so evident in the stadium. From that moment, 10, 15 minutes before kickoff, all the way through, it was just incredible. And even when Hamilton scored, after maybe 4 or 5 minutes, the place started going again. And it was just so special. It really, really was. And had a really good night in the Brockville Bar till 3:30 in the morning. And celebrations all weekend, as we know, at Manicure next to game day was brilliant. And Loved it. Just it's an incredibly special weekend.
Jamie, you talk about feeling the tension and the build up and stuff. Obviously, as you know, we were doing our event and Behind the Wall prior, and you could like there was point yeah, it was on a knife edge in terms of kind of how the emotions that people were kind of going through that day and into the stadium as well. But I think it was the culmination of weeks of pent up anticipation as to when it's going to happen, just as you said. And just to kind of finish that pre-Hamilton point, when did you order the champion shirts? Like, how far in advance did you order those?
So part of the feeling as a fan, which we all had, that I had this extra horrible feeling when that Livingston DP fan, who's a DPD driver, had picked up our champion shirts and took a photo of the box, and the box actually said Jamie Swinney, Falkirk FC Champions Range, and I was like, oh my God, Almighty. And it was on the Livingston page. I've got sent screenshots. I'm not on the Livingston page, I'd like to add. Thankfully, they've not really got a lot of fans, so it didn't really get a lot of traction. It didn't really go anywhere. But I did think to myself, this is one of these moments. And the other one that we had to do is we had to sign up to things like we had a nice lunch at the Shire on the Saturday for the players and the staff, the volunteers and their families. But we had to sign up to all that pre the Hamilton game, which meant signing up to one, spending money that we might, you might not actually even go to in Shire if it goes really pear-shaped. So that extra pressure of knowing that we've put all those plans in place, we've got gold shirts ready to go, that added to it. So I was a relieved man for lots of reasons, but certainly didn't want that coming back to bite us, that's for sure.
I know that we had the same fear, Jamie, because we were booked in to host the event at the Marquee and just thought it was just going to be us two at a ghost town if it had went wrong. It would have been absolutely horrible. But no, it was depressing. But get across that line, an unbelievable feeling, like you say, probably goes down as one of the best moments as a Falkirk supporter. So then we win the league. I guess the work starts from you as a CEO pretty much straight away, because then there's so much preparation to go, and on top of that, we announced that the academy's coming back as well. You must have been a busy man across the summer.
Yeah, still pretty intense at this moment in time, John, if I'm going to be honest. That's every pre-season's actually probably the busiest period off the park, is from the end of one season to the start of the next. This has been an intensity that I've even beyond normal. There's been so much extra work to do, and it's all things that are going to make the club stronger, going to give us stronger foundations, going to make us a better club overall, going to help grow the club. But it is hard work. It is really hard work. I need to say a massive thanks to all the staff and the volunteers for this. The last 8 weeks have been incredibly intense, really enjoyable in lots of ways, because you're doing things that we always wanted to do. We wanted to restart the academy. We've created a fan zone. We've added to the infrastructure, bringing guys like Steve McGinn and Matty Rowan back in. We've added to a couple of non-football roles to strengthen the team off the and the non-football side. We've obviously got, whether we like it or not, the VAR work ongoing. We are creating a we can't call it safe standing, but we are creating a standing area for the ultras. All that, the plans for that, for building wants and so on. So we've added more on top of the workload, but it's all things that are going to benefit the club. So it's meant that the workload, essentially, the best way to describe it is the workload's already pretty significant. We've added 30, 40, 50% onto that. But the time frame's still the same, and the amount of staff we've got is still the same. So you're essentially just doing more work than ever, but in the same time period. So
You've obviously mentioned loads of projects there, Jamie, so we're going to touch on those as we go through the questions, if that's okay. However, one thing you mentioned right at the beginning was obviously the staffing. So bringing on Steve McGinn, Matt Rowan back into the club. I'm sure the morning after beating Hamilton, John McGlynn was speaking to you about whatever his budget was going to look like. How much of a significant increase has the budget been for this season coming ahead?
I mean, if our budget changed a little bit last year. We started off with a budget that I think we were quite honest about it. I think it would have been maybe about six in the championship, and you'll never know that for a fact, right? Because ultimately, you can have a conversation in a boardroom, and somebody could give you a false number. So unless you actually seen the books of every single club, you would never know for a fact. But I can say we are fairly confident we'd have been about sixth or seventh in the championship last year, because of the conversations we had with my peers and other board members across the course of the year. However, we did increase our budget a couple of times. Once we got through to play Hearts, then got through to play Celtic, then went into January. So we did increase our budget over the course of the season. It still would have finished, a little bit short of being that. It wouldn't have been the highest budget in the league even by the end point, but it would have crept up a little bit over the course of the year. So if you talk about the start of last year to now, you've got more than double. The budget will more than double from the start of last year. But as I say, that's a little bit false because it did increase a few times in the year as well. And that's what we always say to John and Paul. We will give the management team as much as we possibly can. We won't put the club at risk, but if we are doing better commercially than expected, if we get some positive financial improvement with regards to cup runs or whatever it may be, we will always try and release some of that back into the football budget because that's ultimately the one that's going to allow us to keep improving on the park. So we'll do the same again this year. We'll start off with a budget, but clearly that might change throughout the season if we're doing well on and off the park, and that'll be the same approach.
I'm guessing another thing you've got, and I hate to bring this up quite as so quickly, Jamie, but you've got to take into consideration when it comes to that budget, the current pitch regulations which are being set down for next season. Does that come into the budget, or are you hoping that perhaps people will come to the Falkirk Stadium and now Livingston as well, see the quality of the pitch, and perhaps we might see that. There might be a bit of leeway on that, or are you thinking at the back of your mind, I'm going to have to budget for a pitch next season?
So we've tried not to let it impact this year. If we were to do that, we'd have probably it'd been difficult to compete if we were already putting money aside. It does require, and it will require around about £1.2 million. So that's a lot of money. They won't change their vote. That won't happen. Whether we like it or not, the process was flawed, as we've said on a number of occasions. They used the chairman's discretion, which is the first time they've ever used it in the articles, and it essentially allowed the board to bypass the rest of the leagues and just allow the Premiership to vote. So the whole thing was flawed in terms of a process, in terms of governance, but it won't change. So what we're trying to get is a bit more support, and whether that's some financial support, potentially an extra year to give us another year to save the money, or that may be an interest-free loan. So what we didn't want to do this year, John, was impact this year's budget because ultimately we've not been in the Premiership for 15 years. We're probably going in with the lowest budget or certainly one of the bottom two. We couldn't afford to also be taking money out of that just now. But you're right, it's a massive challenge for us.
Yeah.
You see, in terms of, so just on the back of that then, Jamie, so whilst you're not thinking about it financially, have you also then started to forward plan as to like where do we train? How what do we need to do to like the work at the stadium to change it back to a grass pitch? Have you having to think about that at this early stage though?
Yes, absolutely. So while we're not committing money to it, we have to commit a plan to it. So if sports labs have given us a are about to hand us a report which will show us the best way for us to transition from artificial to grass. And every stadium's different in terms of what is underneath that pitch ultimately dictates how much work is required to go from one form of pitch to another. So we've got that. We've had a consultant speak to us about his thoughts on the best way forward. We will have to factor in additional costs, as you say. Training ground will obviously be one, and we've had a couple of conversations about what that might look like. So there is lots of other work that over the next 3 to 6 months will become even more important as we start to prepare. As I say, hopefully we might even be able to get another year beyond this year, and if we were able to do that, that just gives us a bit more breathing space. But it's a huge change in the club's model. Our foundation teams. These young kids that want to, are Falkirk, a lot of them are Falkirk fans. They can't train the pitch going forward once it's grass. Our academy teams that are training the pitch just now, they can't train the pitch once it's grass. It's a huge change. Our women's team, our foundations women's team, again, we want them to be able to play in the stadium because it's a great environment for them, and we want them to be able to play in one of the best stadiums in the country. All of that disappears when you go to grass, and I think that's an impact that potentially some of the larger Premiership clubs didn't really give any consideration to.
course it didn't. I mean, from a fan's perspective, and actually from a ex, when you hear pundits and you see your stadium, the pitch, the quality of the pitch, it, you know, and they're saying, you know, it's great. It's great to play on. The professionals seem to love it. You just hope there might be a softening when they actually get to play on it this season. But judging by what you're saying, yeah, that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. So yeah, it's going to be tough ahead. Something that's come in as well, Jamie, actually, I wanted to ask you, it was the cooperation system that we've now seen clubs in the Premiership start to use, and in the Championship as well. Ayr using the Shire, Aberdeen have just done a deal as well, Hibs are sorted out thing. Is that something that Falkirk are looking at taking advantage of as well?
We're probably not quite ready for that. So I think for the cooperation agreement to really work, we would have to have had a full academy in place for a longer period of time to allow us to, if we at the moment only operate with three or four apprentices, ultimately, that's all we operate with. Longer term, we'd like to grow that element of it. And what you would love to be able to do is to go to whether it was a Stenishmuir or Stirling Albion, maybe maybe an East Stirlingshire, a Bowness or a Lithgow. Go to one of these clubs and say, we think we've got three players of real quality and they're ready for your level. We probably just don't have that. And ultimately, if you're only talking one player, it doesn't really fall into a cooperation agreement at that point. It's really just a loan. So unfortunately, it's not one for us right at this stage. I actually think it's a really good thing overall, though. I do think it's the right thing for getting young players out, getting them significant game time at the right level. And I do hope that it works for Scottish football, because we need to solve that problem. We really, really do need to solve that problem. In fact, we'll be one of the few clubs in the Premiership who has, you know, almost an entire Scottish starting 11. We'll be very much in the minority with regards to that. And that's a bit of a damning indictment in Scottish football, that young Scottish players can't play in our top league. So we do need to do better, but it's not one that we'll utilise now. But hopefully going forward, yes.
See, my next question leads into that, Jamie. But just before I do, have you, for banter reasons, thought about asking Dunfermline or Raith if they want to be a Christian club? Because that would just be fantastic. Even just to get the letter through their door.
I'm just going to take a note of that. I might just go to David at Dunfermline just for purely for the banter purposes.
Just for pure banter purposes.
How does a Premiership club, David? How do you fancy us giving you a wee helping hand?
That would be good. But no, it does link into that, and it's a question. I don't know if it was one we were sent in or if it was just one of ours, but we've obviously decided not to field a B team in this very new version of the Challenge Cup, which I don't even think I understand, to be honest. However, can you talk us through the reasons for not having a B team?
Yes, so it's not because we just object to B teams, which I've seen a few fans, you know, potentially wonder if that is a reason. It does fall back to, we're just not ready. For us to go and put a full team out against an Alloa or a Montrose, I don't think we're ready for that at this moment in time. I think we would struggle, really, really struggle. So while that's got lots of benefits of these young players getting six games, so it's actually quite a lot of games. You've seen it last year in the Stirlingshire Cup. Getting a few young players involved, great. Fielding a whole team against a seasoned team like an Alloa, we would probably struggle, like really, really struggle at this moment in time to do that. So we just don't have the infrastructure, we don't have the players, and we're just not quite there in the journey to be able to do that. Like anything, I think I'm pretty sure the answer, every year we'll get asked to see, every year in the Premiership, we'll get asked, do we wish to enter a B team? We'll just review it every year. If we genuinely think we have the quality of player and those six games are going to benefit those young players to a high degree, then at some point we may well enter a B team. But it'll always be done of, is this the best thing for the football club? And right now, it just wouldn't have been the best thing for us to enter that competition.
Yeah. Question here from one of our listeners, Pete. We've talked about stadium improvements. You've alluded to it there at the start, Jamie, about the stand section, VAR. Obviously, I think there was the additional needs sections have been improved as well, which is great to see. But here's the big question from Pete. When will the R be replaced in the Falkirk sign at the end? Because it's not working.
It's actually a great question, and I know this podcast is going out next week, but by the time the podcast's out, it'll be replaced.
Yes! Brilliant.
So see on that. So obviously that is a good question. You've got a good answer for it. So see, obviously you mentioned VAR there. So how much work and investment have we had to put into the stadium, Jamie, to get us ready for the Premiership, I suppose?
It's still as ongoing as well. We obviously have a pretty small ground staff team, and the guys have worked flat out, and we've had some volunteer support, which has been fantastic. But it's a big area to cover. There's a lot to clean. There's a lot to paint. There's a lot of seats to fix, and that's just the general stuff. That's before you talk about the disabled shelters. John, you're right. We've upgraded all the disabled shelters, which was a key priority for this summer. We've talked about the enhancements to the stadium, like the ultra section. So these are really, really good projects and exciting ones. The VAR one, essentially most of the cost is covered by the Scottish FA through the central pot. Now, I say it's covered, we also pay for that, but it's essentially split that the champions pay the most, and that we essentially take place 11 in the Scottish Premiership. So we pay this the joint lowest into the VAR budget. But there is a bit of work in there. I mean, when fans come back, they will see the five different bits of scaffolding over the far side, which is the five VAR cameras essentially. There's actually overall between Sky and VAR, there's like six or seven cameras go in. And because QTV and VAR, so QTV and essentially stream all the matches, every single one of our games has got that full camera coverage, which is really, really good from a Falkirk TV perspective, because it'll enhance the number of cameras and the essentially the service that we can provide at home from Falkirk TV. But it does require a lot of work. We've had some well-known contractors, guys that are familiar to the Falkirk fan base, in doing the work for us to allow us to get the stadium up to a standard. And it's been, you know, again, there's been weeks upon weeks of hard work, as well as the fan zone, which is, you know, obviously the work that's went into that has been similar in terms of putting in groundwork, putting in power, putting in water, etc. A lot of that work's been quite similar. So the stadium's been busy almost every day with contractors since probably mid-May.
Obviously, we're recording this prior to the launch of the fan zone. Is that looking like that's going to be fully operational for these cup games and the league starting, Jamie?
Yeah, absolutely. I hope this does go. We've had two fan zone experiences. If not, there's a problem. We just feel that there's an opportunity to add a bit more to the overall match day experience, the fan zone. And I must give Lewis Dixon a huge amount of credit for this one. He's worked incredibly hard to get this up and running, along with the whole commercial team and you know, the ground staff, myself, etc., to try and get this to provide the fans with an offering that's different, something that's going to be quite exciting. Ultimately, from our point of view, there's also a commercial element. I think lots of people will know our situation with the main stand means that we don't receive money from the bars in the main stand, which therefore means if you compare us to a club similar to us in the Premiership, similar size, similar capacity and attendances, when they've got 300 or 400 in the hospitality, they're making a lot more money than we can. That's just the reality of it. So there is a commercial element as well, where if we can bring our match day revenue, we can get that higher, get it closer to what Motherwell bring in on a match day. When it gets, I'm not talking about ticket sales, I mean actual commercial match day revenue, we can get up to the same level as St Mirren. It allows us to compete with them. Whereas if we don't do these extra commercial offerings, we'll always be short because of the situation that we find ourselves on the main stand.
Been a big furore over the last few days when we put out the statement last week saying we are reducing away capacity 750, but a lot of people didn't understand that we had 5,700 season ticket holders, which has obviously resulted on the kind of away allocation as it is. However, Jamie, it's a question that won't go away and it will keep getting asked, and one of our listeners, Dale, has asked it. Is there any developments on a potential East Stand, and what sort of cost and capacity infrastructure would you be looking at for that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I hope we do come back to season tickets later on, because we do need to spend a minute to just talk about how absolutely incredible that season ticket return has been. Absolutely incredible. But on the fourth side, so we did, first of all, months and months ago, we did price up a proper temporary stand. The challenge with it is these companies want you to sell it to a 3-year deal. So that in it right away gives you a huge cause for concern, because obviously we hope to be in the Premiership for 3 years and a lot longer than that. But to set up the 3-year deal and end up back in the championship after a year would be, ultimately putting the club into giving the club a huge financial challenge to cover that cost. So if you look for a 1-year deal, it just doesn't even it struggles to wash its face, never mind make any money, because ultimately, and one of the things that is worth noting is although the ticket price is £25 at the top end, we obviously have the low end price of £5 for under 12s. When you break it down, the average ticket price is about £14 or £15. Then you've got VAT involved that you lose. You've then got to pay for turnstiles, stewarding, maybe extra policing, obviously utilities, toilets. Once you add all that together, actually making a temporary stand work just isn't viable. So I know there's lots of fans that ask that, and I think it's probably worth just covering. We did absolutely look into this, but we just couldn't get the numbers to stack up. With regards to the fourth stand, I think we're now finally in a position where we can talk about it with a real ambition and hope that we can deliver it. Over the years, Falkirk fans will remember it's popped up from time to time, and there's way back at the start there was drawings and there was kind of this master plan of this. I think initially it was a 14,000 seater stadium initially was there, or 14 or 16,000 seater stadium was the initial master plan. Clearly, we've not delivered that's not been delivered in the last 21 years. But where we are now, I think, is we need it. I think the main thing is, up to this point in our history and our 21 years at the stadium, it's almost difficult to justify the need for a fourth stand. When you've got lots of empty seats, why would you need a fourth stand? Is it just to give Celtic and Rangers more seats when they come? Because do we really want that? Do we really want to have more seats, but we just give them to the opposition? They'll end up like some clubs that we see where you take a home advantage and you manage to kind of hand that home advantage over. I think we've now got a business case that says we need a fourth stand. What does that look like? We've had some drawings done. We've had got some really nice video. Architects can do a great job. They can make something look absolutely magnificent. They don't worry about the cost. They just show you what you could have. But we would really like to deliver a fourth stand. We'd like to deliver a fourth stand. Increases the capacity by around about 2,000, around about that number. That's not set in stone. It could be a little bit more, a little bit less, but we think another couple of thousand would be sensible. We also think we need to have a commercial element to it. If again, going back to how do we not only compete with a Kilmarnock and a Motherwell and a St Mirren who are in the Premiership and have, in certain such situations, been there for a long, long time, how do we compete with them? But how do we actually grow beyond them? I think we all feel that we're every bit as big as those clubs already, but how do we actually grow to the point where we're bigger than them? And the only way to do that is to grow our revenue, grow our fan base. So we're growing our fan base. I think we can all see that. It's evident every single game at the Falkirk Stadium. I remember speaking to George Craig a good few times, not long after starting at Falkirk, and George mentioned that when they were in the Premiership previously, we used to budget on trying to have a 5,000 average attendance. That was our aim from a budget point of view. We've got 5,700 season tickets, so it just shows you how much the fan base has grown in that 20 years. So we've got that, but the commercial revenue has to go as well, because ultimately, the more you can put in the playing budget, the more you can build the infrastructure of the club, the more you can compete. So it's still early days. We are talking millions, even at the low end. We're talking lots and lots of money. However, we are out there with a plan. We've got a vision for it. We are early stages, but we are speaking to we've got the ability to try and speak to some investors. And if we find the right investor, we might be able to do both, bring an investor in, but somebody can also help us deliver a fourth stand. I think that's the most likely way of doing it. We're never going to finance it ourselves. No, we're never ever going to do it ourselves. So we need somebody to help us with that. But the fact we've now got a plan and a vision and a business case that shows we need more seats, I think we're closer now than we've ever been, albeit we're probably still, a few years away realistically. And that has to be sustained Premiership years as well. We can't, if we drop back out again, it becomes a bit further away again. So it's exciting though. I think we all want it. We all want to see the stadium complete. And if nothing else, just to stop people talking about
Three stands.
having free stands.
Yeah, honestly.
It's one of the reasons. However, I've always been, and John's sick of me saying this. I think when you think about when we left Brockville, which was 22 years ago now, I think none of us thought we're going to move to a one-sided stadium, then a two-sided stadium, and now a three-sided. It was always that finished stadium. So I think for that reason, it would be for future legacies, it's going to be fantastic when we can do that. You won't be surprised. I've now got 1,000 questions in the back of you just talking about it, and I'm very excited about it as well. I can see John shaking his head.
It's exciting, but I think we
As
should be excited
excited.
about it. Again, it's about
Yeah.
why should we limit our ambition?
No,
If
totally agree.
somebody had said 2 years ago to me, Jamie, you know, Falkirk will have 5,700 season ticket holders, I would have been, even I would have said, I'm not sure we can get to that in 2 years, 2 years.
Yeah.
But we've done that, so we've got to have an ambition that goes beyond where we are now. And that's got to be why couldn't we have 7,000 season ticket holders in a few
Yeah.
years' time with a four stand? Why would we
I know.
limit ourselves to that, to not having that?
So, see, in terms of you mentioned 2000, potentially 2000, either side of 2006, would that then suggest, because I know you've said some initial drawings have been done, which I know you're probably not going to share anytime soon. However, does that suggest then that the stand is either going to be shorter length versus the existing stands, or it will be a bit more of a raised stand like Hamilton have got?
So the drawings encompass other commercial elements, so it actually brings the height of the stand up, probably similar to the North and the KM height wise. Again, it's only one set of drawings, and we're not absolutely fixed on this plan, but we would like it to be. It probably doesn't need to be as tall as the main stand, I think it's
No.
safe to say, but we'd like it to. We don't want it to be a tiny little kind of Lego stand over the far side either, because that just wouldn't look great. So it needs to have a lot more than just stand seats in it, but we'd like it to be the full length. Again, it's got to be the full length. We don't have a Raith Rovers with half a stand, or a Motherwell with two-thirds of a stand. It needs to be a full stand. And then if we can then get to the point where we've got something in the back end that generates money, that's the ideal scenario.
That will almost be bringing the fan zone that's coming into the stadium then. So if that's like from a commercial perspective you're saying there, we've like John and I have both seen stadiums like well, off the top of my head, if I think Hampden's got that lounge that almost covers one full floor along one level, which would be ideal for something like a fan zone. Is that something that you've got in your head, or is that a bit more formal hospitality?
I think we're open to that. I think we've got to work with architecture at the moment, and architects at the moment, looking at what is feasible in that, what is feasible in that space, what is feasible to deliver within a football stadium. That's probably the first couple of questions, but we are very open to that. We have looked at different options. There is options around, could a hotel work in that space? Could other commercial space be used? As you say, with regards to food and beverage offerings, what would that look like? How can we accommodate that? So I think we've got to put everything as a possibility, and then make the one work that's the most viable. What's the one that's going to generate the most money that allows us to grow as a football club? And whatever that answer is, that gives us that's the one we should be going after.
More money questions for me, Jamie. We talked about having six biggest budget for the championship last season. How looking, I mean, I guess you've not had the chance to speak to your fellow CEOs, but how do you think we'll shape up in terms of the budget that John will have to work with this season? Because we've obviously went and we've done a lot of re-signing of players, which has been great. But do you think you'll have room to wiggle in terms of getting a few extra faces in?
Yeah, so first of all, there's still budget left. John and Paul have still got budget there. So there's not been an issue so far. We've not missed out on anybody because we couldn't offer them, enough money so far. So that's not been a challenge. We will be in the bottom two for budget. I think it's almost a guarantee without even going round the boardrooms and speaking to my colleagues. I think, or my peers, I'm sure that is where we'll end up. We'll be in the bottom couple. And part of that is for 15 years of not earning the top prize money. We've had 15 years of not earning solidarity funding. We've not sold a player for, of any real significance, talking that, proper numbers for a long time. A lot of our competitors, like I really count the bottom six out, clubs that we are probably most similar to in size, a lot of them have had that. They've had the benefit of that. I mean, a couple of years ago, we got £160,000 for winning League One. That was our total prize pot. You look at clubs that have been finishing 10th in the Premiership, they've been getting 2.1, 2.2, £2.3 million year on year. So when you put it into 1 year, it sounds a lot. And you start to multiply it by 15 years, it sounds a hell of a lot. So we'll take a bit of time to grow the budget up to a point where it's hopefully competitive to be the top end of that bottom six. That's what we've got to try and do, is get the point where we can give our manager, we can give John and Paul a budget that's as comparable as possible with the outside Dundee United. After Dundee United, we want to be in that next bracket, but we're not there yet. That's the reality. We're not there yet. But the good news is we've got a really strong core, and there is still budget there for John to bring more players in. So we're definitely not done yet on the signings.
See, on that, we obviously got a question in, John, and forgive me, I've not got the name there, but it was around manager's contribution. So,
Linda.
Linda, sorry. Yep. So last year, I think it was yourself or someone else, it was maybe one of the board updates, had said that about 20% of season ticket holders had contributed to the manager's contributions. How's that faring so far this summer?
So it's been a lot lower this year, but I think part of that was that the ticketing site, I don't think did a good enough job. We and I've included ourselves in this one. We get some of the errors at the initial outset of selling season tickets were on the club, and we I think we did apologise in a board announcement with regards to that. We could have done better, and total tickets, a couple of areas that they could have done better. So we probably missed out on a little bit of the manager's fund. So it'll be a much, much lower percentage. I'll be honest, I don't know the exact number, but a much lower percentage this year around, which is not, I don't think that's a reflection on the fan base. So I think I'll make that point clear.
Yeah, I actually, when I don't think it gave me the option when I need it, but there you go. You talked about selling players there, Jamie, and getting back into that model, I guess as well. How close was there? Was it paper talk with Hearts with Brad Spencer, and then we've got Ross McKeever, a lot of paper talk around him at the moment as well.
So with Brad, nobody from Hearts got in touch with us formally, but his agent, did say Hearts were interested, and I know his agent. I think he's probably been genuine. I don't think this was just a completely made up story. Now, does that mean that, how serious were Hearts about Brad? I suppose we'll never know unless Hearts volunteer that information to us. But I would not be surprised if the analytics had Brad very, very high. I mean, he's a fantastic football player. If they're looking at a player that can build out, take the ball, control possession, build the game up, interceptions, read the game. I mean, Brad's going to score very high on all those. He played every minute. He played every minute of a championship winning season. So he's going to score very high. It's whether Hearts had him as a third option, a second option, a first option. I suppose we'll never really know. You'd assume if it had been the first option, they'd have been in touch.
Yeah.
So that's all I would say on that one. We never received any formal bids, but I think the probably was at least it was probably on the radar as a minimum. I would say that's probably fair. With Ross, we've had a couple of bids from one club down south that have just been a long way short of anything that we consider. So Ross isn't up for sale. We've no intention of selling Ross. Like anything, if somebody comes in with a bid that's worth considering, then like any football club, you look at it, don't you? I don't think there's any football club in the world that wouldn't look at a bid if it comes in, but see the bids we've had so far, they've not been worth consideration.
It's interesting when you talk about analytics as well. It's probably another player that shows up very well in analytics as Ross as well. So that's the kind of model and that money ball transfer model that we've found ourselves in now, I guess, going back up to the Premiership as well, which is really interesting.
Absolutely. And Ross, you look at what a modern number nine is required to do. Ross does lots of it very, very well. So again, I'm not, and some of his performances, I think he was unfortunate last year because the first probably quarter of the season, it was excellent. I think back to the games against Dundee United and Hearts last year, some of the early games in the Championship, it was really, really a
That
standout for us.
strike against Celtic, potentially goal of the season as well,
Yeah,
wasn't it?
it
So,
was a standout for us, Ross, and I think he's unfortunate. The injury came and it took him a bit of time to get back up to speed. So I'm not surprised that teams are looking at a Ross McKeever, a Brad
had he
Spencer.
not got injured, he would have got his 30 that I predicted last summer. There you
Very good. Yes, of course.
go. Speaking of sticking with recruitment, Jamie. So, obviously you've said we're not done yet, which is brilliant. But in terms of the recruitment strategy for the Premier, so we've got Alan Fraser now, who came up back to the club from Nottingham Forest. Is the recruitment strategy now more focused on that English market rather than the Scottish one?
picked at States. We brought Alan back in, and Alan's got an incredible wealth of experience and knows the club very, very well. John and Paul trust him, which I think is almost the number one thing. They trust him. We didn't want to lose him to Nottingham Forest, but we understand why the opportunity to go and work at Nottingham Forest was quite appealing. So we're delighted to have Alan back, and Alan spent 6 months looking down south. It allows us to expand our net a little bit. John and Paul know everything there is to know about Scottish players and players playing in Scotland. So they've proven that their track record of bringing players in from other players that have been in Scotland, their track record's absolutely incredible, and therefore we're well covered in that one. So this allowed us to expand our net a little bit. We also took on Transferring, which is essentially a software platform. A platform that allows you to go and see what's available, and it connects you to other clubs and agents and scouts. So that's been really useful as well. There is a reality of if all we do is shop in Scotland, we'll probably struggle to really kick on. I would suggest we do need to have the ability. You think back to when the club was in the Premiership previously, but we actually brought a lot of players up from down south, some on loan, some permanently. And if you think back to them, some of them were key players for the club. So if we can get a reputation again for being a really, really good place for a young player to come and really have a strong, a strong season that allows him to kick on in his career, I think that's a good thing. And I think under John and Paul, and we're a sell-out stadium every week and playing the right football, I think we could be really attractive to clubs saying, what a great place to send that player who we think has got high potential. And we want to create that reputation if we can. We've obviously got Henry up so far, and that's one. But we might be able to bring one or two more in, and that would, I think, start that process of being recognised in that way again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Henry Cartwright, the time I've seen him on the field looks like he could be a right asset next season.
A real bonanza.
Oh God, the Bonanza chat. Yeah, if Dave Mack, please play the bit. If Henry Cartwright scores, you've got to play the Bonanza theme. It's one for the old school, that joke. But it's a great thing. John spoke about having a couple of big clubs, in his words, of players. You're not going to tell us, Jamie, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What kind of big clubs are we talking? Manchester United big? Are we talking in a scale of big clubs, Jamie? Where are we at?
No, pretty big. Definitely pretty big.
Right, okay.
Definitely towards the right at the top end of that scale.
Thank you.
Definitely around. And I think the key thing again is we're also being very methodical and deliberate about it. So we already have the player that we want, and we're not just going to these big clubs and saying, who have you got, and can you give us a left back? Or we're actually going in and saying, we've watched this player, this is our thoughts on him. We're asking for not only opportunity to speak to the club, but opportunity to speak to the player about Falkirk. We're then going on Zoom calls with the player and his agent to say, this is what this football club can offer you. I think that is a really positive way to approach trying to bring a young player up to Falkirk. And I think the bigger clubs probably appreciate that because they actually look and they say, Falkirk are really serious here. They're actually really serious, and they look like a really well-run club. And I do believe that if you're a big club, you do consider these factors along with, what style of football they're going to play and all these other things. What's his likelihood of getting game time? These are factors as well. I actually think just how the club operates is important to a bigger club. So yeah, I would say that we're hopefully not a million miles away from another one or two that will come from English Premiership clubs that we believe can come up and make a difference.
I take it. I said Manchester United is a big club. I forgot how they're shite they are now as well. So just you can knock that one off too.
I would pause and not say that in case the team is Manchester United.
That's true.
Shite has come up.
Oh, listen, I'm not saying no if a Man United player was to come up, but.
I take it John's quite hopeful of getting those in before the first league game, I assume, Jamie.
First league game, possibly not. We would love to have him in before now. I think it's not a lack of want on our side or a lack of desire on our side. It's just the English clubs start back a good bit later. Quite often with these young players, if they're shown a bit of potential, they'll go on tours. So we've had guys that are away on the tour with the main first team. And I say the main first team, they're taking like 40 players away. It's not like they're just taking not like when we say our first team, we're talking about
Well,
20
Palmer's
players
just been playing away. Shit, isn't he? I forgot about that.
So these guys, which is great for them, but they then spend the first three, 4, 5 weeks of pre-season playing pre-season games or going away on tours. And it's only once they come back that it becomes a serious chat. So we've been really proactive. Like we've been in touch with the clubs well in advance of them returning from pre-season. But I think we just need to be a wee bit patient, and it's frustrating because we'd actually want them, we'd have wanted them in before the first League Cup game, because that allows them to come into the squad. I think getting minutes in the League Cup, Henry coming on and getting 20 minutes against Brechin's perfect, because it gets them a bit of familiarity with the squad, and obviously the game was a comfy victory, so he got plenty of touches of the ball. So we would love it, but we might have to be just a wee bit more patient. We've obviously got till the end of August, so there is plenty of time.
And what are your ambitions for, the club will have the ambitions to sort of stay in the league, I guess, is the ultimate ambition. But have you got any ambition beyond that, Jamie, this season? Where would you like to see us at the end of the season?
Yeah, so last year we budgeted on fifth, but we were confident we would be in the top four. That was where we were. But fifth was a sensible budget from a point of view, not putting the club at risk. This year we're budgeting for 10th. I think there's a belief within the squad and within myself and everyone in the club that we can do better than 10th. I think there is a belief there just because we see it. We know how good this squad are. We know how good the management team and the backroom staff are, and we know we've got the fan base backing us, sell out games every week and large away crowds. So I would like to see us survive, of course, but I'd also like to think we can maybe compete towards the upper half of the bottom six. But I'll still take 10th right now. I'll still will take 10th because 15 years is a long, long time. So we don't want to drop back out after 1 year.
Absolutely,
John,
absolutely.
what's your since we're talking about predictions, what's yours?
I'm with here's Mr. Wayne train there. I'm totally with Jamie. I think it was last season as well. But yeah, that 10th, I'd bite your hand off for now. Just get to 10th and stay in the league, adjust to the league, find your feet, and then build from there. But I said that last year in the championship as well, and look where that turned up. So I'm thinking back to back to back this season. So but no, 10 for me. Ross, I take it you're booking your passport for European ties.
No, listen. I'm 50% realistic as well. I think obviously I'm 50% booking the Wayne plane. Never mind Wayne train. But no, I think we need to be realistic, as Jamie says, for a whole host of reasons. I would bite your hand off for survival this year. However, I'll caveat it with: do I think we will surprise a number of teams this year? I definitely do.
Yeah. And let's just talk about the strip. How good the away strip is, by the way, Jamie. I mean, what's your favourite strip, the home or the away?
Probably just the home. Probably
Just
just the
the
home.
home. Do you like the central? Because obviously, at this time of year, we all turn into Gok Wan and fashion experts when it comes to football tops. Do you like this position of the cent? Do you like the central badge on it?
We just felt there was an opportunity to go back to white sleeves for the first time in a while. And then when we actually seen it, obviously when we go for these designs, you see the badge in its normal place, then you see it central, you see different collars and cuffs, and so you see a whole load of different variations of the same strip essentially. So we did see the strip with the badge in its normal place. It didn't look as good. So the central badge actually looked better on the graphic. The away strip, we obviously had for a while wanted to bring the checkerboard or an element of the checkerboard back in, but we also realised that at the time it was not well liked. It's probably remembered better now. A lot better now than it was at the time, because at the time it was a strip no Falkirk fans wanted to see us playing again, which is quite interesting because obviously when the initial teaser went out and there was that fear that we had just reproduced the same strip, it was interesting to see the reaction of the fans because we were never going to just do an exact replica of the checkerboard strip, but hopefully we've landed somewhere in between, which is a nod to the past but a nicer strip over it.
Can I ask a quick question then? So you've obviously mentioned the home and the away there. We know there's this heritage series that's this season, and I think next season as well, which leads up to the 150th anniversary. Are we following the pattern of the council's is that the council logo? That seems to be what we're following, Jamie. Is that what we're doing, are we?
Yeah, so although obviously the council have adopted it, as you know, it goes way back further than
Yeah,
that. But yes,
yeah. The
the
coat of arms, that's what it was
coat of
called.
arms, yeah, the coat of arms. So it's the council who makes it sound really, really bad. And anybody listening in from another club's persuasion would be like, oh, there we go, there's Falkirk, Grangemouth FC with their Falkirk council logo and stuff. So we don't want to give them any more ammunition than they've already got for us. So the coat of arms, we've obviously delivered the first two quadrants. There will be a heritage kit this year that will have one of the other quadrants. I'll keep it open. One of the other quadrants of the four. We won't necessarily stick to those colours, but there will be a
I was
nod
going to
to
say,
it.
because one of them's blue and green.
But you see,
That's just where I was going with the
there
point.
will be a nod to it, and it might not be the same colours. That's what I would say. So our aim this year will be to deliver one that's got a nod to it, absolutely, and celebrates the history and the heritage of the town. But we'll try and deliver a design that's quite modern that we think people would really like, as just almost as a t-shirt you'd wear with jeans, you know, a t-shirt you'd wear out and about casually. So something that will hopefully be seen as a really nice top, but it'll still have an element of we are celebrating the club's history
We
and the
need
club's
a collar
heritage.
back. Remember, when was the last time we had a shirt with a collar? You know, like a polo shirt style shirt. I think that's what
He's
needs
got quite again. Every footballer turns into he's got
to
support turns into he's got one. There you go, Ross Wayne,
happen. And I can
John
assure you,
Paul Gotti, and Falkirk.
aye. And I can assure you, see, we were actually doing strip designs as well. We never ever get a full consensus
No one will ever agree.
at the boardroom anyway. We never get a full consensus because there's always going to be a difference of opinion.
Well,
It
you're the
doesn't.
only one that's younger than 65. So they're probably all wanting Battleship Grey.
That's a wee bit harsh, and
Actually,
I think Stuart Adam would maybe object to be called a
I forgot about
footballer
Stuart.
over
Yeah,
65.
he's going to kill me there. Yeah, I forgot about Stuart.
Superb, superb. So let's move on from fashion. Jamie, before we get into it, we're going to play Falkirk Daft Versus with you, all right? But before we get into that, let's just reflect on obviously the season tickets. You mentioned it before, 5,700 season tickets, seventh biggest in Scotland. Incredible from the supporters.
You guys can go a bit further back than me in terms of, you know, the crowds and what crowds you're used to. But and I know there's guys that will talk about maybe the crowds in the 80s or whatever. But I just think that those numbers are absolutely incredible, and I think it's worth just literally saying to every one of those fans that have bought a season ticket, thank you so much. We wanted the Falkirk Stadium to be a bit of a fortress, and we don't want to be one of these clubs that's kind of given as many tickets away as possible opposition. We want it to be the opposite. We want to have as many Falkirk fans in this Falkirk Stadium as possible. But even in my wildest dreams, I didn't think we'd get to 5,700. So it's a huge, huge thank you to each and every Falkirk fan.
See, just before we do the quiz, can I ask a question on that? Because I think we had one or two people ask this as well, Jamie. Obviously, away games this year, there's going to be maybe a little bit tough to get a ticket, similar capacities to what we're going to be doing. Has the club got a plan in place for selling these tickets or allocating the tickets?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a question that fans will have. We obviously know Tynecastle was very, very tight for away crowds. Celtic Park and Ibrox are fairly tight as well. I think even Pittodrie these days, there's a bit of a reduction in what you get at Pittodrie. So there's at least four. You then think about even like St Mirren's 1,600, but you look at the crowds we've been taking that regularly and more. You know, I think Hibs, although I think you can get more at Hibs, but I think they start off by selling a few couple of sections at a time, albeit I do believe that you can get 2,500, 3,000 if you want them. So we're going to have to treat every game as a bit of a case-by-case basis, but what we will do is prioritise season ticket holders. That's what we'll absolutely do, is prioritise season ticket holders. We also believe that there will be an element of tickets that will go to supporters buses. So we're looking at a kind of 25% allocation for supporters buses. These are buses that, and I would focus on, it's amazing that there's new buses popping up, but we have to reward the buses that have been going over the number of years, for some of them for decades, for some of them over the last few years. And so we'll reward those buses, but again, it will be season ticket holders, so that the buses still have to show that their season ticket holders are there. But overall, we will do our best to deliver it. It's not going to keep everybody happy. There'll be lots of disappointed people at Tynecastle, probably initially at Celtic Park, Ibrox, Pittodrie as well. But we'll do our very best to make it fair. A ballot is the most fairest way to do it, whether we like it or not. It's just the only way realistically to do that.
Wait till you're on the couch with your wife and you're getting questions about tickets, Jamie. There you go. Why have I not got a ticket for Hearts? It's all Jamie Swinney's fault. But
it's a shame because Tynecastle's the one that I think, you know, everybody looks forward to Tynecastle. It's just an absolute pity.
I know, but there you go. It is what it is, and it just goes to show how far we've come even talking about that, and the fact that there is going to have to be a ballot for away tickets as well. It's just an unbelievable place to be, so it's great to be there. Right, okay, we can't let you go though, Jamie. It's Falkirk Daft versus time now, and you're going up against Ross Wayne. So Ross has got it right down to his answer. We've got five questions on Falkirk, and now this, I've based it around the 24-25 season, a special back-to-back season. You've got to give me your answer, Jamie. Ross is going to write down his. I'll be a real ready, Jamie, if you get beat off Ross here, I have to say. So
I feel like I'm almost in a lose-lose situation here, because you can expect me to get the answers right, so if I get them right, oh well, Jamie should know that, and if I get them wrong, well, it'll be, how did you get that wrong?
I know. Right, okay, I'll start off with a nice, easy one for you gents. Ross, you got pen and paper?
I do, yep.
Who was the top scorer across all competitions last season? Ross, write down your answer. Across all competitions, who was the top scorer? Right, Ross, written something down. Jamie, what's the answer you've got?
Calvin Miller,
Ross. Don't tell me you've just frozen. He's just absolutely frozen on screen there. The anticipation is too much. Look at that face as well. I hope that's not a sex face.
This is the longest drum roll ever.
I know.
Bloody laptop just died on me, so I've had to phone in my phone, so apologies.
Okay, we've managed to get Ross back. The anticipation was killing us of what this answer's going to be. Jamie has given us the answer, Calvin Miller. What have you written down? He was away Googling, that's what it was.
No, I don't know if you can see that. I went Calvin Miller as well.
You can't see anything, actually. That could literally see anything.
I kind of made up. I can see it.
So,
well done.
If I do lose this quiz, I am absolutely putting a steward's inquiry in.
One a piece. Right, next question is, obviously we amassed 73 points last season, but how many games did we draw? Ross, write your answer down. How many games did we draw last season? You got some written down, Ross?
Yeah.
Jamie, what are you going for?
Seven.
Ross?
I went for eight. Don't you see that?
One is correct. And the person that's got it right is Jamie Swinney. Seven. Won 22, drew seven, lost seven. There you go. So, well done, Jamie. 2-1 to you. Right, next question. I'm going to give it to you either side here, Jamie. I think you might know the answer to this one. I'll give you 100 either side. What was the average attendance? I've got something written down here. What was the average attendance for the Cup next season? I'll give you 200 either side. If someone can nail it.
I feel Jamie will know this because he's probably got it in some pack of MI. Right, I've got some written down.
We all have. 6,500.
6,500, Ross.
I went for 6,100.
Jamie, 3-1 up. It was 6,445.
See.
Right, this is for the big one. Right, okay. Final question. Well, it might not be the final question, I'm sure, but we'll wait and see.
What's Jamie's wife's name? I'm sure that'll be the
How many goals did Scott Arfield get for the club last season? How many goals did Scott Arfield get last season for the club? Ross is writing down an answer. Jamie, you've got an answer, have you?
Eight.
Ross.
I've went with nine.
It's a 4-1 win for Jamie Swinney, Falkirk CEO. He can hold his head high, walking into the club. Well done, Jamie. Congrats.
Fair play.
That was close to me, Ferris. You were literally one out in two occasions.
Brilliant. Listen, Jamie, thank you so much for coming on, answering all our stupid questions. I think it's great that you do it, and I know I'm sitting saying you're constantly questioned, but it, like I say, it's really open and honest of you, and you're always open and honest about any question we've asked you. So really appreciate your time today. If you've got any questions for Jamie, just tweet him on a Saturday night and he'll be more than welcome to answer it at any point.
Although we've hardly got any, look at hardly any Saturday fixtures, the way things are going.
I know. Hey, listen, what it's going to be great now, like we'll get all these Sunday fixtures so we can get a Saturday day out and a Sunday day out now as well. Fantastic, great work.
You guys must be looking forward to the season, the proper season starting.
Absolutely. Can't wait. Honestly, we can't wait. Can't wait to get the podcast going again. Can't wait to speak to. We're speaking to fans right across. It's a whole new bunch of fan bases. So we'll be speaking to supporters right across, including some ex-professional footballers as well. So breaking out the old contacts book this season. So we'll look forward to previewing and reviewing the games on Falkirk Daft. But thank you so much to Jamie Swinney.
Thanks, guys.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
So, thank you very much for Jamie for jumping on board. And like I always say, Jamie, he's just so Falkirk driven. He doesn't shirk a question. But like I say, don't tweet him on a Saturday night. Just give the guy some peace. Do you know what I mean? He's very good on Twitter, Jamie, but give him some peace, man. Jesus, poor guy. So that's it for Monday's Falkirk Daft, but as I say, changes are afoot. Now we're Premier League, we are going twice a week now. So that's on a Monday, we'll look back at the games, we'll do all the club news, maybe some little bits now and again, we'll look for some guests as well. But we're going on a Thursday, so if you want to hear the Dundee United preview, which we're going to do, that will be out this Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts and on the YouTube channel as well. And we will see you then. But until then, get your merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. And there's new Falkirk Daft t-shirts available at Pints and Prints, Ross, isn't there?
There is indeed, yes. There's a few new designs at Pints and Prints. And I know we sold out of them previously, our previous supplier, but you can now get your hands on a Falkirk Daft bucket hat.
Who stole mine on Friday night? I want to find out who stole my bucket hat on Friday night.
If they could own up and hand it back in, we'd
see. Because the limited edition, I need it for Oasis this weekend. So if you've got my Falkirk Daft, it was sitting on the stage and now it disappeared. So if you've got my Falkirk Daft, listen, you just have to drop us an anonymous message because I need it for Oasis next weekend. So bloody give me my Falkirk Daft bucket hat. But if not, if you want a new Falkirk Daft bucket hat, head to pintsandprints.co.uk. There's a great new t-shirt called with Dafty on it, which has got different types of alcohol, which is absolute class. So thanks to Gordon for doing that one as well. So pintsandprints.co.uk, check out the Falkirk Daft collection. I did get pointed out to me, you know how we had the Falkirk 316?
Yes.
That has now disappeared from the website. Now, I've got a funny feeling, and Gordon may be able to confirm this, that the WWE may have threatened legal action if we didn't pull it, because it's suddenly disappeared. So if you've got a Falkirk 316 t-shirt, it's limited edition. But pintsandprints.co.uk, get on there. Right, okay, well, we will see you on Thursday to look ahead to Dundee United, but until that time...
Expect and expect, buddy. I'm on the bends.
We're Falkirk Daft, we're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft, we're Falkirk Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft, we're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk Bear, we're Falkirk Daft. We are Falkirk Daft.